Reformed Church.
You know, it's an interesting thing when you think about how we reason or how we judge, how we decide things in our lives, right? Because obviously our thinking is not yet perfected, right? There are still thoughts and decisions and things that the way we judge situations and things and stuff that is still very much based on what we're seeing or based even on what you're hearing, what you hear from people, what you hear from, I guess you're always hearing from people, I guess, to one extent or the other. But it's an interesting thing. I was reading in Isaiah 11 over the last day or so, and maybe we can just go there real quick. Isaiah 11 and verse number 1. And this, of course, is describing the way Jesus lived. But you can see, obviously, that even though this was talking about the Lord, you can see the attributes and the characteristics that we have, right, because they're his. But in Isaiah 11, verse number 1, it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse," speaking of, it says, "and a branch shall grow out of his roots." So that's talking about his earthly ministry, right, when he would come and be born in the lineage of David. and then it says in verse number 2, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight," it says, "is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." There's a ton of stuff there. But the thing that I just wanted to draw your attention to, it says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And, you know, that's been something that's been kind of like a consistent theme that the Lord has been reminding me about, especially, you know, kind of reminds you of Isaiah 61, where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then he said, this is all that he came to do. And obviously, everything that he came to do, he did by the Spirit of God. That's why it says the Spirit of God was upon him in manifestation and in work, right? And then he did everything that he was supposed to do. In our lives, it's exactly the same thing, right? The Spirit of God is to be upon us and upon our body, renewing our minds, right? So that the work that needs to be done, which is a ton of work that needs to be done on the earth, is done the same way, by the same Spirit, right? Greater works, the Lord says, that we would do, and we would do them by the same Spirit with it, by which he was working on the earth. So it says in verse number 3, it says, "His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears." Now, I know we've heard that before, but just like marinating that a little bit, like think about that a little bit. If he didn't judge by the sight of his eyes or by the hearing of his ears, then how did he judge, right? Like, how did he make decisions? If it's not based on what something looked like and it's not based on what he was hearing from people, then how did he make a decision, right? Because there's not a ton of things left, right? If you don't, I mean, if you live, put it this way, before we were saved, that is how everyone lives, right? There is no other way to make decisions. You're making decisions based on the way something looks, your perception of it, how you see it, right? By the sight of your eyes or by the hearing of your ears. But it's a cool thing when you really stop and think about it. And he actually answers the question. But when you stop and think about it, you know that it was the same thing as the Lord says in like Hebrews 11, around verse in the 20s, the 27, I think, where he says that Moses didn't fear the wrath of Pharaoh, right? Or the wrath of the king, I think it says, because he was seeing him who is unseen, right? So there is a way that we can react, a way that we can make decisions, a way that we can think about circumstances that is not based on the way that they look. It's not based on, you know, there were a couple things actually that we were just talking about yesterday in a quick leadership meeting that we had that reminded me about this very thing that we're even talking about right now. Again, just from as an example, you know, you're seeing something with your eyes, right? You're seeing someone's reaction. You're looking at someone's demeanor, and we can make a ton of assumptions and then think based on those assumptions, this is fact and we should do something about it, right? But that's not a great way to deal with circumstances and things and people, right? Because you could be completely wrong in the assumptions that you're making. You'd be completely off. Now, there's a different thing when the Lord gives you understanding about something and you're something becomes aware to you, right? But I think, you know, there are so many times that I think that we could say that, you know what, I wonder about this, or I was just thinking about that. But how many of the things that you say you were thinking about, or how many of the things that you thought, you know, I wonder what's going on here, is just simply based on the way things look to your eyes, or the things that you heard somewhere, right? So when you really look at how, you know, I was thinking today about the way the Lord was treated, you know, he, in his earthly ministry, he had such desire to see people shepherded, right? Such a desire to see people come to the Lord, such a desire to want to see people know his Father, right? But yet rejected on such a constant, regular basis, rejected by people. Like I don't remember what I was doing today. Probably it was probably during work, but I had a thought that I wonder if we would be rejected as often and as regularly as he was rejected. Like, how often would people actually maintain in ministry, right, with the track record that Jesus Christ had? Like he was lucky sometimes just to keep the 12. Right? And even sometimes the 12 were questioning him, right? Like, it was such a constant thing to be questioned by people constantly, to have people come and want to hear you, and then the next minute they abandon you, right? So he couldn't live that way, right? He couldn't live by the sight of his eyes or by the hearing of his ears, because he would live upset, depressed, right? Because nobody loves me, everybody rejects me, right? Like he couldn't go on every single day living like that, right? He had to live a different way, right? And that different way is actually the way the Lord calls us to live, right? There is I won't go there for the sake of time, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that we have been given all utterance. That means all speech, all utterance and knowledge. He says that we have been given all utterance and all knowledge. That means that in every single situation, the way it even says here about the Lord, you have the right thing to speak. You have the right thing to say, and you have the right thing to think. And it's actually probably backwards, right, that works, right? You have the right thing to think, and then you have the right thing to say. Let me show you an example here in verse number three, of course, we just read. It says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity. Decide with equity for the meek of the earth. So with righteousness, it says, with righteousness and with equity. That's with righteous judgment, right? And with equity is with justice, right? So everything that he, instead of judging things by the sight of his eyes or by the hearing of his ears, he judged things righteously with right judgment, right, from the Lord. And not only that, obviously, but then it says also, and he decided with equity or with justice. So the things were right, and they were also just and fair for him and for other people as well, right? It says that he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, speaking about, obviously, you know, his words, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked, right? Same thing with his words, the righteousness of his words and his judgment. Verse number five says, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins. So you can see here, just quickly, how was he armed, right? Like, how was Jesus armed when he walked? And it kind of describes a little bit of it, right? Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So that's basically describing, right, that he walked with right with that which is right in his heart and that which is truth in his heart, right? So it was never, didn't have to be a matter of him looking at a situation and trying to, you know, having to be confused over what is right and what is wrong to do. But that which is right and righteous and just, right, was always right on the inside of him by the Spirit of God. So it's just a cool thing when we, you know, when you look at, like today was a little bit of a weird, funny day for me, because for whatever reason, you could pick a reason, right? But things seemed like a little, like, you know, you ever have sometimes when you feel like you're in a little bit of like a fog, like something's wacky, right? And it's funny because I just had the reaction, I guess, that I normally have, right? Which is you think, you know what, oh, I wonder what's going on, what's up. But so why would you think that something is up at all? Like, what is different with the Lord today from yesterday? Nothing. The goodness of the Lord is the same. What we have from the Lord is identical. Nothing has changed as far as he's concerned. I mean, today the weather could change, you know, or the whatever. There's a bunch of things in the world that are temporal. But so many times, just because I've been thinking about this for a couple days, it just kept coming back over and over again. I kept kind of stopping for about a minute or two and just standing up during my workday and just thinking, thank you, Lord, that I don't judge myself, my mood, nothing by the sight of my eyes or by the hearing of my ears. In other words, that I don't even have to go, I don't even have to judge situations just because you woke up feeling a certain way, right? But to know, like Lord, what is wrong right now with me? Nothing, right? Nothing is wrong. Like, in other words, if I judge myself according to the Lord, I would say there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong at all. But it is such an interesting, it's an interesting thing that I would have felt a little different like that today, especially when I've been thinking about so many things like this. And then it's cool when you can say, you know what, Lord, you have given me all utterance. So in everything that I speak, in everything that I decide, in the way that I judge situations, in the way that I look at things and people. I mean, things are going to happen throughout your day, right? Stuff's going to happen. Sometimes good, sometimes, I mean, you can judge things good or bad throughout your day, incorrectly, of course. But if you look at things and say, you know what, Lord, no matter what happens today, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, in my makeup and my characteristics, I am the same. My spirit never changes. The perfection that I possess it today, I possess it yesterday. I'm going to possess it in 5 minutes from now. I'm going to possess it in 2 years from now. So it's a cool thing when we think about just that whole thing about deciding, making judgments about things. It's an amazing thing when you begin to think, Lord, you know, work in my mind and in my heart today, Lord, so that before a decision is made, I check to see if the decision that I'm making is because of something that I saw and heard, or is it because of something that you're showing me, right? And that really, it really boils down to the fact that we want to be people that are led by the Spirit of God, right? We want to be people that have, because we have the mind of Christ, that we want to use it to fill our thoughts, right? That we want to use what we've been given. And the cool thing is that you can actively use the mind of Christ that's in you. You can actively live that way and not walk naturally like the world has no other choice to walk, right? But we don't have to walk naturally, right? We can say, Lord, regardless of how many people, actually, there was something that Pastor Mike was saying about, you know, we have to be able to be people that can be rejected for the gospel. And it's funny, I just thought about that for a second. And it's the same thing that I was just sharing with you about Jesus. But even us as a church or you as an individual, you know, trying to share the love of God with people, the things that the Lord has taught you. You know, what happens if every single person that you talk to rejects you every single time that you say something to them? Like, is that a reason why you'd say, oh, you start questioning what you know? You start questioning whether you're saying it right. You start questioning, right? So it's just a lot of those things, you know, when the Lord is not, you know, when you're attentive to the Lord and he's not bringing any of those things up, right? He's not the one that's enlightening your mind or giving you wisdom for certain situations and certain things. You know, for us to manufacture stuff that we need to be on the lookout for or manufacture things ourselves because of the reaction of others, imagine how much lighter living is when you don't put pressures or demands on yourself based on the reactions that you get from other people, right? You could continue to preach the gospel even if you were preaching like to yourself and to your wife and nobody else came and everybody else said that you were crazy and you didn't even know what you were talking about. I mean, when you think about Noah, like what would it be like to be a preacher of righteousness like he was and have every single person reject you? Every single person, even his own family argued with him, right? I mean, I don't even know that he had a congregation of one. Right? I mean, he was still a preacher of righteousness, but he had no congregation, no one that actually wanted to listen to him. So it's just a cool thing to just be, before we jump to conclusions in our mind about things that you need to work on, stuff that you need to do, you know, check to see, did you just manufacture that thing? That is that really the Lord that's showing you something? Or is that just circumstances and things that are being thrown up at you, right? It's good stuff to think about.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.